We're going to start here on Kuf Chaf Omen Aleph, three lines down in the wide lines. Here the Gemara says, "Lahalan manana katuv derech dulatan." Later on, meaning Parshat Maseh, the second time Benot Chuf Chader mentioned, they are enumerated in an age order. V'kan here in Parshat Pinchas, when it's dealing with the question if they Moshe, it's derech chokhmatan. It's done in their order of wisdom. And that's because twice in the Torah, Benot Chuf Chader mentioned, once in Parshat Pinchas, once in Parshat Maseh. In Parashat Pinchas, when it speaks about the Bnot Tzavchad, it says, "Vatikravna Bnot Tzavchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, Mishpachot, Menashe, Ben Yosef, Elishmo Benotav." These are his daughters' names. Machla, Noah, Chagla, Umilka, Betirza. And that order is different than which is mentioned in Parashat Maseh. Because in Parashat Maseh, it says that they got married to their cousins. Vatiyana Machla, Tirza, Chagla, Milka, Benoah, they got married to their first cousins. So why is the order changed? So what is suggested over here by the Gemara is that when it comes to their question, their presentation to Moshe about their case, there we're talking about their in order of their wisdom, because that's the context in which it's found. Whereas in the end of Parshat Maseh, there they're enumerated in age order, because there we're talking about marriage. And as the Rashbam points out over here, we know from Lavan that the proper way of marriage is that the oldest gets married first. And in generally that is the natural course, that the older one gets married first. And therefore over here, we can assume that they're enumerated in age order. And that explains the difference in the order in Maseh versus Pinchas. Where it says, this is Misayile the Rabbi Ami. This will help Rabbi Ami's position. Dama Rabbi Ami b'shiva halach achar chokma. When it comes to seating, now what it means, seating, here it's seating for certain purposes, as the Rashbam points out, it's ben ledin, ben l'shay yeshivot shel Torah. This has to do with when you come into judgment in a court, or when you come into any other yeshiva that deals with Torah or chuchma, then obviously meshivim et hachacham, right? You place the chacham first. He gets priority. The chuchma is the vehicle by which we're going to determine who gets precedence over here. On the other hand, when it comes to misiba, halach achar zekena. When it comes to a misiba, what's a misiba? According to the Rashba, misiba is a mishteh. And he also adds in another line, which is who adin l'nisuin. It has to do with any sort of party or celebration. There we go after age. Age order is the determinant or the vehicle by which we'll determine who gets precedence. And the Rashba adds this one line, who adin l'nisuin, which sounds like the, based on this, that age order is the determinant of who should get married first. We'll address that in a minute. So now, the Amar Ravashi. Ravashi now qualifies that statement. V'hu de maflig b'chokhma, v'hu de maflig b'skena. That when we talk about order in terms of wisdom and order in terms of age, it has to be that it's something that it's a distinguishing feature. I mean that chokhma is only a determining factor when it's someone is a distinguished Talmud Chacham. The same is true with age, that age is only in order when age is a distinguished factor here, meaning that there's a differentiated factor. So now based on that, you're going to actually have a lot of permutations based on these different categories laid out. Ravashi is qualifying the statement, but it's not clear where in the statement he's qualifying. So the Rashbam actually lays out here, the Rashbam, it's the Behum de Maflik Biskena, that he lays out the permutations of what would be the order based on the statements of Ravashi and Rabbi Ami. So now he says, Maflik Biskena. So now he says, this is the way. Shamina mi chacham, we learn from here, the chacham muflag, zaken muflag. If you have both a chacham who is distinguished and a zaken who is distinguished, she'eno chacham kol kach kabachur b'yeshiva, but he has a zaken, but look, he's not a chacham like a bachur yeshiva. Then we go, achar chachma lo shiva chacham berosh. Then we go after the chachma to place him first, u'daber tchila b'misiba to speak first, when a misiba, lachar zkena, then we'll go after zkena. So when you're talking about two individuals who are distinguished by their feature, one is in chokhma, one is by zkena, then when it comes to yeshiva, the precedence will be given to the chacham, and when it's coming to the misiba, the precedence will be given to zkena. Now, v'hecha, these are the other permutations, the chacham avi muflag b'chokhma. The one hand, the chacham is a tremendous or a distinguished talmud chacham, v'zaken ein muflag b'zkena. He's old, he's older than the talmud chacham, but he's not extremely or distinguished by his age. Then the Talmud Chacham will get precedence. Because since the age factor is not such an important factor anymore, because it's not so distinguished or so differentiated, therefore, if it's the Muflag B'Chokhma, it's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, you'll get precedence in all situations. And the other way is true as well. In a case where the Zakein is old, meaning that he's distinguished in his age, then, b'chacham ein muflag b'chacham. The chacham is a regular talmud chacham, is a regular bachur in yeshiva. In that case, b'chol makom achar chag zakena. In that case, then the zaken will get precedence in all situations. V'afilu b'yeshiva, even in places where it's yeshiva, when we're talking about Torah or din, because we're assuming that the zaken is not ignorant, that he is somewhat of a Talmud Chacham, and therefore his being Muflabs Kena gives him precedence. Even though the younger one is smarter than him or is more learned than him, that won't be a determining factor because he's not Muflag B'Chochmah. What happens if neither of them are distinguished in their features? Then Nira Be'inai. The Rashbam says this is not really addressed by our Gemara, but I think at that point you go after age. I mean, that age is the determining factor when there's no other factor to look at. Demistama, right? Hokhim achar zakein. Right? In general, we'll go after age. Debishvil shabachur chacham ktsat yotermi menu enlan levayesh at a zakein. Just because one person is slightly more learned or slightly more knowledgeable, we shouldn't be mevayesh someone who is older. V'chamenu bosh bekach. And Acham himself won't take any affront to this because machar shazakein menu. The other ones are older than him. So Yudehu shebishvil zakein ato chokim lo kavod. He understands because of the age they're giving him kavod. It's only when he's muflag bechokhma do we say, wait, maybe zakeinah should not be a factor. So the Rishbam in the end says that our Gemara is really, or Rav Ami's statement here is only addressing a case that Rav Ashi qualifies, is that when we're in competition between a muflag bechokhma and a muflag bezakeinah, someone is distinguished in their wisdom or their learnedness versus someone who's distinguished in age. In that case, then we divide. When it comes to yeshiva, when it comes to din and Torah, anything to do with chokhmah, we give precedence to the Talmud Chacham. B'misibah, when it comes to anything to deal with, I would call it etiquette, when it comes to celebrations or to nesu'in, then we give precedence to age. Now, even in each of the cases where one is a muflag and the other one is not, then we always give precedence to the muflag. So if you have someone who's muflag b'chokhmah, distinguished in his wisdom or his learnedness, then age becomes a non-factor if the other person is not distinguished in their age. And he will get precedence in every situation. The other way is true as well. Someone is distinguished in age, and the other one's not distinguished in his chokhmah, he's a tamar chokham, he's wise, but he's not a distinguished tamar chokham, then age will always be the determining factor, because we will not embarrass the other party in order to give precedence if the other one is distinguished. So that'll be the, and where neither of them are distinguished, then we go by age, the Rashbam says, in order not to embarrass anybody, because the Zakein, age is always a age-old factor in determining, and the Chacham will not take offense to it, because he understands that the person's age is giving them precedence. So that's what the Rashbam says. Now, here's one factor that we have to speak about, which is that the Rashbam over here says that when it comes to nisuin, comes to marriage, that age is a factor. And he quotes the case by Lavan, that Lavan was actually, that's the minhag atik, that was an ancient tradition that the older got married before the younger. And Lavan was trying to pass off his cheating or being sly with Yaakov based on the age-old minhag. But not that there wasn't such a minhag, but the minhag did exist. And that's what the Rashbam quotes over here, that you should get married in age order. The Bach quotes this with regards to a wedding, that an older child, when it comes to weddings, the older child should get precedence over the younger child. So the Shach, in quoting the Bach, says that that's the answer, that when it comes to marriage, you have to wait. If a younger child wants to get married before the older child, you wait, because we saw from the Bach that ain't Ochanami, the wedding of the older child goes first, and that you'd have to wait. But Moshe Feinstein was asked this Shiloh, and Moshe Feinstein disagrees and says, no, that's not the right explanation of the Bach. What the Bach means is that if you have two weddings, meaning that they're both engaged, or they're both in the process, in the marriage process, meaning that they've already made strides towards this, then we say, give precedence, have the wedding of the older one first, and be doche the younger one for a little bit, so that the older one can get married. But, for example, in a case where the younger one's ready to get married, and the older one has not found anybody yet, is not even close to getting married, then over there we'll give precedence to the younger one and say, get married. Do the mitzvah of nisuin and peruravu, and we're not going to wait for the older brother in terms of etiquette. And here, what the Gemara is talking about is just in terms of benon slavchad, and the Rashbam is just talking about in general. Generally, when the older child will get married before the younger child, and that's general etiquette, as well as when there's a competition. I mean, if there's a tension where both of them are going to get married, we'll give precedence to the older one to get married first. But not that that's a determining factor, and that only the older one can get married, and the younger ones must wait for the older one. Moshe Feinstein says that's not the case. And the same is true, the other Shutim, Minchat Yitzchak, and others quote the same idea of Rav Moshe, that basically when the Bach is suggesting this, he's just says suggesting an etiquette, not that he's suggesting this halacha. Right now, we have someone who disagrees with the position of the Gemara here, that benot zavchad actually were differentiated in some way. So, just tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, benot zavchad shkulot avu, they were all equal. Shenem rabbi tiyena, havaya achat lukulan. When it says tiyena nashim, it says havaya achat, they were all of one ilk, one category. So therefore, there's no differentiation. And that's why the Torah actually mixes them up. I mean, that we find the same thing about Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes Moshe is before Aaron, sometimes Aaron's before Moshe. The reason they do that, the Gemara says, because Shkulim, they were equal. Moshe and Aaron were both equal, and therefore the Torah flips back and forth between them to show you that there is no such, not one of them is no greater than the other. So that's what the Tana Rabbi Shmuel is suggesting over here. The reason the Torah changes the order is just to show you that they were not differentiated in any way. Change the order to show you that there was no precedence one over the other, but simply they were all kula and shkulot. This is an amazing assumption because the parsha does not sound this way. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says that Benot Zavchad could have married anyone they want because it says, Shenemar, in the parsha, when Bnei Yosef come to complain, Moshe gets the word from Hashem about what to do with the Benot Zavchad, and it says over there that they are allowed to do what they want. I mean, that basically they can marry whomever they want. So, what does it mean that they can marry whoever they want? Zeh devar shetziva Hashem lebnot Zavchad emor lo tov be'enehem tiyan anashim. You can go marry anyone else. Ach, the mishpacha mati aviyam tiyan anashim. But, you should get married to someone from your family. So the question of ach here, when you say but, over here means but means no, for that truthfully you can get married to whomever you want, but it has to be within. It's defining or limiting who you can marry to. Marry whomever you want, but just make it from your shevet, which would be the simple understanding of the pasuk. But now the Gemara is saying, no, the statement is they can marry whomever they want. Ach is just an, what we call an etzah tova, advice that Moshe is giving them. Shmachan matei aviyam tenu nashim. Let me tell you some good advice. You should get married to someone from your own shevet. So that's what the Gemara is saying now. Shenamar l'tov bnei aviyam tiyan l'nashim. Ela ma'ani mikayim. What are you going to do at the end of the pasuk that says, Ach l'mishpachot matei aviyam tiyan l'nashim? Eitzah tova isiyan ha-katuf. Torah is giving them good advice. Shulei su'el l'agun lahed. That they should only marry those that are wrote away for them, which we had in yesterday's daf at the end, that they were tzidkaniot, that they waited until they were 40 to get married in order to marry those that were appropriate for them. And those that they found that were appropriate for them, they waited and they got their bnei dodayim. They married their cousins who they were found to be most appropriate from them. So meitev Rabba has a challenge to this position. Because it says in Parshat Emor, Emor Alehem, L'dor Teichem. So now, what does it mean, Emor Alehem? Alehem is Lotan Omdim Al Har Sinai. Alehem sounds like to the people that are in front of us now, those that are found at Har Sinai. L'dor Teichem sounds like Elu Dorot Abayim. That this instruction is also for the future generations. So Yimim Nemar Avot, Lama Nemar Banim. Why do you have to write both of them? Why do you have to write, if it talks about the people at Har Sinai, why do you have to talk about those that are going to be in the future generations? V'im Nemar Banim. Talk about the future generations. Why do you have to mention those that are now present in front of us? Mipnei, because there is exceptions to that case. Mipnei sheisha vot mashem bebanim. There are certain times when something is commanded to the forefathers or those that are in the midbar. That's not true of the future generations. V'yesh bebanim mashem beavot. The same is true by banim. There's some things that are only true for future generations that are not true for the people present in the midbar. Bavot u'omer. By the Avot it says, and this is our Parsha Benot Zavchad, V'chol Bat Yereshet Nachala, right? And there, in the case here, V'chol Bat Yereshet Nachala means that it's only true of those that are found in the Midbar. That any Bat who's going to inherit a Nachala must marry within her Shevet, so she will Lotisov Nachala, so that she won't move Nachala, Mim Matot Ben Yisrael, one to the other. But that was only applicable to those that were in the Midbar. It was not applicable to the Dorot Acharkach. And there are many mitzvot that we don't even need an explanation of that there are many mitzvot that were commanded to the children that are not nistavu avot. And the classic examples of all of those are mitzvot atuliyot baaretz. Anything to do with entering Eretz Yisrael, those are clearly only nistavu dorot and have no shaychut, have no relevance to those that are found in the midbar. So now, because there are certain mitzvot that only apply to those in the midbar, and some mitzvot that only apply to the future generations, in this case, in Emor, it has to say avot, that's right, both of them, in order to tell us that this is relevant to everyone, both those that are found in Sinai or in the midbar, and those that are found in the future generations. So, what about other mitzvot? So the Rashbam claims over here, "Umahashta nilaf mihachal chol mitzvot the stumot." That in general, all mitzvot should go ben banim ben bavot, achivreit the chakatuf, unless the Torah specifically states otherwise. And what's the sugya? Say kitavo. When it says kitavo, when you come into the land, then it's clear that it doesn't apply to those in the bar. Or yichtov lecha zeadavar, unless it says zeadavar, which is says it's only applicable to you. So unless the Torah states otherwise and gives a specific instruction that it belongs to one party, then the underlying assumption from what we learn from Emor over here is to teach us that all mitzvot and stam belong both to the current generation as well as to the future generations. But Ketani Mihat, never it says Bavotu Omer V'chol Barat Yoreshet Nachala. So it says by the Avot, mean that those that were in the Midbar, it applies equally to everyone that's in the Midbar, that you're not allowed to marry into another Shevet. So that's a problem for this position of Yehuda Meshmo, who says that Benos Lachad could have married whoever they wanted. So who motive love whom afarikla? He asked the question and he answers it. Lavar mi b'notz lachad. That was what was applicable to any other daughter. Meaning that b'notz lachad got a special dispensation, which was that they were allowed to marry anyone. But the halacha is for anyone else, any other daughter who would inherit nachalad, that she would have to marry within her shevet. Maybe they were given this dispensation because they were known to be tzidkaniot, and we see in the end that they did marry b'nei dodehem, and they had to marry hagun lahem, and they listened to Moshe. But that dispensation wasn't offered to other daughters who were inheriting Nachala, or the possibility, because they raised the issue that they were exempted from this qualification, but others were subjected to the halacha that they must marry within their shevet. So Amar, Bavotu Omer, V'chol Bat Yoreshet Nachala, Bavot In Bevanim Lo. So we hear from our parsha of Notz Halchad, it says it applies only to the forefathers, those that are found in the Midbar, but not to anyone else. My Mashma, how do you know that? So Amar Rav, Amar Kwa, Zadavar. Because the Pasha that speaks about this issue says, Zeha Davar. Pashat Masay says, Zeha Davar, Shitzvah Hashem Livnot Tzavcha Lemar, Latov Bnei Amtian Anashim. So what's the mute there? Davar Zeh Lo Yehei Noheg, Elo B'dor Zeh. That the mute of Zeh comes to teach you. Zeh means now, present, and those that are present that it's Noheg by, but not in the future. So Amalei Rabba, Zute, the Ravashi, Elo Mi'ata, Zeh Davar, Deshchut Echutz. We also have the words, use Zeh Davar, by Shchut Echutz, those that are Makriv Kochim, outside of the Mikdash, or outside of Shiloh. So that should only apply to those people in the Midbar. It's not going to apply to future generations. That doesn't make any sense. So it says, it does not only write Zed Davar, but also writes the Dorot Techem. So the Dorot Techem tells you that it will have application to even to future generations. Ah, what about Zed Davar de Roshei Matot? What about by the Parshat Nidarim? By Parshat Nidarim, it also says Zed Davar. So it should only have application to those people in the Midbar, but not those in the future. That Zeh by Adavar, by Rosh Hashanah, will learn from Shechut Echutz. So if you want to do that already, so why don't we say the same thing by Benot Slavchad? We can say we can learn them out from Shechut Echutz as well. Hi Ma, you can't say that. Over there, we need the Zeh Davar to use for something else. We need it for the Gzeirah Shavah between Matot and, which we're going to see in a second, between the Nidarim, the Parsha of Nidarim, and the Parsha of Shechut Echutz. We need it for Gzeirah Shavah. So once you have a Gzeirah Shavah, you can move in both directions, and it can teach in both directions. Therefore, there's a full Limud that comes out. But on the other hand, by us, right over here, by the Parsha of Nachala, what do you need it all for? Lishtok Kramine. Don't you use the word Zeh Davar at all. Vana Yadana Ludorot. Right, then we would have known automatically it was Ludorot. I mean, if you didn't use the mute of Zeh Davar, then of course we would have known it was Ludorot. The fact that you say Davar, Zeh Davar, and now you're going to reverse it through saying that you're going to be Mekishit or compared or having Gzeir Shava to Shchute Chutz doesn't make sense. Just have the Torah not write it at all. Now, by the case of Matot, okay, over there, why does it write Zeh Davar, which would imply that it's only Shayach that door, not to future generation? Well, there we need it, because the Zeh Davar that's written by Rosh Matot is now connected to the Zeh Davar by Shechut Echutz, and now we're going to learn some halachos between the two of them, which is the next Braisa is going to explain what this Gezer Shava is. Hi, my Gezer Shava. What is the Gezer Shava? And we'll continue with that tomorrow about what the Gezer Shava is. Okay, so Gemara's, we're just starting on the top of Kuf Chav Amud Bet. About 7 lines down. My Gzeirah Shavah. The Gemara wants to know what's the Gzeirah Shavah of Zeh Davar, Zeh Davar. If Zeh Vadar doesn't, what does the Gzeirah Shavah teach you? Titania. Nemrakan, Zeh Davar. Mvrenar Marlahalan, Zeh Davar. So it says that we know by Shchut Echutz it says Zeh Davar, and also says Zeh Davar by the Roshay Matot by Nidarim. So now, what are the limud from them? Malahalan, Aron Avanav, V'chol Yisrael. Avkan Aruvanah V'chol Yisrael. So just like over there, it says when the Zeh Davar, it says it applies to Aaron, his children and all of Klal Yisrael. So to over here, it applies to all. Umakan Roshei Matot, by the Darim that it says Moshe Matot, Avlahalan Roshei Matot, also by Shchut Echutz, it means Roshei Matot. So Amar Mar, so they're going to explain what each of these means. What is the Gzeirah Shavah? Amar Malahalan Aruvanah V'chol Yisrael, Avkan Aruvanah V'chol Yisrael, the Mai Hilchasot. So what does that teach you? What does it mean that just like by Shechut Eichutz it applies to Aaron Uvanav and Chol Yisrael, it also applies to Nedarim? So I'm going to Vach HaBarayachav Lamar Shafarat Nedarim Yishlosha Hedyotot. It comes to teach you that Afarat Nedarim is, or really, Hatarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim does not only apply to Chachamim or to Roshei Matot, but also applies to Hedyotot. So when it says, wait, Baha Roshei Matot Ketiv Bey, it says Roshei Matot. So how can you have a Gzeir Shavah? It says not what it says explicitly in the Torah. So that's what we're going to get to in today's daf. But that Rashi Matot tells you that with a single mumche, you can be matir nidarim. So that means that each item teaches you one thing. The Rashi Matot teaches you that if you're a rosh mateh, I mean that you're a mumche, you're tamid chacham, then even a single tamid chacham can be matir neder. On the other hand, what is the gzir shav? The gzir shav teaches that even hedyotot are ra'uyim to create a tarat nidarim, but there you need three. So you have to have, because they have to be like a Beis Din. So now, umakan Rashi Matot, afahanan Rashi Matot, namai hilchusot. So how do you apply the Rashi Matot from the Darim to Shechita Chutz? I'm Rav Sheshes Lamar, Shiyesh Sheila Behektish. To teach you, just like there's a Tarat Nedarim by a regular Neder, the same is true with something that you're Makdish. When you're Makdish, you're basically, or essentially creating a Neder to give to Hektish, or to do something for Hektish. So the ability to unwind that means that you can do Hatarat Nidarim by Hekdesh. So Gemara says that works well according to Beit Hillel, but not according to Beit Shammai. Why? Beit Shammai, Damri Ein Sheila B'Hekdesh. What are you going to do with Beit Shammai, who says there is no such thing as undoing or being Matir Neder by Hekdesh? It's not. We have a Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Hekdesh Ta'ut Hekdesh. Beit Shammai says, even if you make something Hekdesh by accident or by mistake, it still holds as Hekdesh. I mean that once you make something hektesh, we're not so interested in why you made it hektesh or how you made it hektesh. Once that happens, it's irreversible. Even if it's a mistake, even if you, what otherwise would allow you to be matir neder, they don't think that's an issue. But Beit Hillel omrim eino hektesh. So Beit Hillel says, no, that's not hektesh. You make a mistake, right? It's equivalent to what Hatarat Nedarim says, that the premise by which you made something hektesh is mistaken. So too, if you make a mistake, I mean, not so too, but that's the original premise, is that when you make a mistake, that's not hektesh. So all this explanation works well according to Beit Hillel. But according to Beit Shammai, who says that's not true, how are they going to explain the Gzeir Shavah that teaches you that Roshei Matot applied to Shechut Eichutz? So hi, Zeh v'zeh, my of delay, what are they going to do with it? Zeh davar d'Shechut Eichutz mibayle. We need it by Shechut Eichutz. Why? To teach you, it's a miut. Zeh is a miut. To teach you, ha-shochet hu chayav, einu chayav al ha-molek. When you do something outside of the Mikdash, when you do an avoda outside of the Mikdash, you're only chayav on shechita outside of the Mikdash. You are not chayav on melika outside of the Mikdash. What's melika? Melika is the way that the birds, right, were shechted in the Mikdash. That was through a tziporen, through the back of their neck. But melika is only a valid form of, quote unquote, shechita in the Mikdash. It's not a valid form of shechita outside of the Mikdash. I mean, outside of the Mikdash, it isn't any form of avodah. So therefore, only shechita, which is a valid form of killing animals for kashrus outside of the Mikdash, will also obligate one or make one chayav in Shechut Eichutz. That means that even by birds, if you shecht a bird outside of the Mikdash, you'll be chayav for Shechut Eichutz, even though in the Mikdash you'd have to do melika. Because shechita is the vehicle by which animals are killed outside of the Mikdash. So when you're doing Shechut Eichutz, you have to do something that's valid in chutz. When you're in the Mikdash, you do what's valid inside. Zeh davar de Roshei Matot mi bayle. And what do they need the Zeh davar by Roshei Matot? If they don't learn the Gzeir Shavah, then they, okay, fine, they need the Zeh davar by Shechut Eichutz to make a miut. The Zeh davar by Roshei Matot by Nedarim, what do they need that for? The Chacham Matir vein Baal Matir. To teach you that the vehicles that are used to undo or unwind a neder are different. A baal, a husband, has the right to be mefer or to nullify the nedarim of his wife, as well as a father to his daughter. That is called hafara. Hafara is, it's interesting here, the Rashbam says the definition of the word hafara means kol davar kiyum ne'ekar, something that would otherwise be permanent or standing, and then is undone, umit badel belotam, and is ruined or taken away without reason. That's called hafara, which is basically nullification. The nullification here by the Baal or the father do not require, right, real reasons why they do it. They have the ability, it's their right to do it. Now the Gemara does say it has to be, for a husband, it has to be devarim shebeno leveina, right, that we learn after the psukim. But in general, they don't have to say, as opposed to a hatarat nedarim, which requires you to come up with some reason why the whole premise or the underlying premise of the neder was mistaken, right, or false, here by hafara, we don't need such a thing. So that's why the term used by the Baal is mefer, which means to nullify with our reason, whereas the term used by the Chacham is matir. Matir neder means that he has to come and figure out a way to change the status of the neder to even matir, to unwind it or loosen it. How do you do that? He has to come up with a petach neder. But either way, the concept here is that there are two vehicles, and the vehicles are not open to both parties. The Baal and the father can only use hafara, and the chacham can only use heter. And that's what Zed Davar is. The mute comes to teach you that there's only one vehicle for each individual.